Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is so good to be with you guys earlier than normal on a Wednesday. Not going to be able to do the Larry Kruger collaboration this evening. So wanted to take the opportunity to get out a show and to get out another countdown video. We've got number 53 to 49 in our 2026 49ers roster countdown series, where we count down from 91 all the way to 1. Most important 49ers of the entire 2026 season. And this is a fun episode because in the past, when we would do, you know, the roster stops at 53. You go into camp with 90, 91 because of the International Pathway Program. But then you cut down to 53. So when we first started doing this countdown like 6 years ago, it would be, you know, 53 would be the long snapper, 52 would be the punter, 51 would be the field goal kicker. That was kind of standard, and however we voted, we kind of manipulated that way. Not that way anymore. The 49ers have an active punter competition going on, which kind of pushed both of them down because, yeah, I think Baumeister is going to win the job, but we'll see what happens there. And then Eddie Pinheiro goes against one of the highest paid kickers in the NFL. He definitely is more valuable than number 51. So we don't get the punter and we don't get the field goal kicker, but we do get the long snapper who comes in number 53, John Weeks, the oldest player on the 49ers roster. I think a lot of people don't realize that. So we're going to start the conversation off with some long snapper. Hey, long snappers matter too, baby. They are there too. And I know we're a little earlier than we usually are, but I do want to say thank you for everybody showing up. What's up, Monkey Boy? RTPFTW, appreciate you, man. What's up? What's up? Look at this, Casey. First time catching you live in 3 years of watching. Go 49ers Rush. Hey, we appreciate however you enjoy 49ers Rush content. A lot of people, we're larger on the audio only, which with a face like this, I don't know how that's possible, but Spotify and Apple Podcasts and iHeartRadio, that's probably where we're largest, but Casey, I just want to say thank you. Any support is appreciated. However you watch, listen, enjoy, even if you just follow us on social media, which we are very, very thankful for, but glad you are here today for the live show. What's up, Big Red? We got Maria in the house. Oh yeah, Big Red. Love me some long snappers. My son is one. I feel like the majority of long snappers I've coached, coaches' kids, like coaches get it. You can long snap, you can make it onto a college team, be a part of it, eventually get a scholarship. Like, it is one of the easiest ways to be a part of the football world. Oh man. I coached long snappers my entire career. You know, I was a special teams coordinator. It was my first coordinator job. And so like, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. What's up, Maria? My favorite streams. I love it. Shannon in the house. So John Weeks, last year was 54. This year he's 53. He wears jersey number 46, 5'10", 242. He's a bigger dude. 40 years old. He's the third oldest player in the NFL. Only Joe Flacco and Aaron Rodgers are older active players. Here's how old John Weeks is. How old is John Weeks? I feel like it's a joke. Not really a joke. He went to college at Baylor back when people would stay at one college from 2004 to 2007. This dude played against Vince Young in the championship Rose Bowl, Texas Longhorns. Hook 'em, baby. I was at that Rose Bowl. One of the greatest games, the greatest game I've ever been a part of. He played against those guys, the Griffin brothers, Selvin Young. You go on and on and on about that Texas roster. But that's how long he played against them in college. This dude has been around the block and then some. And what's interesting, you know, he went to Baylor, Texas. He's from Bethpage, New York, but was raised in Arizona, went to Mountain Ridge High School, played O-line, D-line. He was a bigger dude. Won Arizona's two-way MVP, lettered in football, weightlifting for 4 years. He's a strong cat, but had a really rough path to the NFL. He was an undrafted free agent in 2008, but had to wait 2 years before he made it on a roster. But once he did, hasn't looked back since. He's made the Pro Bowl in 2015, and he actually made the Pro Bowl last year, which is kind of strange, but as somebody who breaks down every single snap the 49ers have year in and year out, the upgrade from where they were with Tabor Pepper to John Weeks is beyond significant. Tabor probably covered punts better after the snap, but from a snapping standpoint, snaps got significantly better last year going from Tabor Pepper to John Weeks. I understand he's older, but accuracy, quickness, timing, tempo, all those things matter. He has them in spades. So John Weeks is entering into his 17th season, played in 261 games. He's got 35 special teams tackles. Oldest player on the 49ers roster, even older than Trent by 3 years. And just reliable. Consistent. Easy. That's about it. He's had no significant injuries in his career. He's on a one-year, $1.4 million deal. $1.2 million guaranteed. Dude's making the roster unless he gets injured. That's the only way that that would kind of shake that up. He's made over $12 million in his career snapping the freaking ball. Just chill. There is no controversy here. There's no depth chart. There's no competition. Teams don't usually carry two long snappers. It's John Weeks. John Weeks, number 53. Write it down and pin. It ain't changing. It ain't changing. Monkey, appreciate you, man. If it all goes right, these discussions are the only time we'll ever hear their names. If we hear their names during a game, usually not a good thing. You know, that very well said. And we have the time. What are we? I think we're 80. No, sorry. I think we're 78 days as of, you know, Wednesday, the 24th of June. Today's my son's birthday. I'm super pumped about it. That's another reason why we had to do an early show, because I'm going to be chilling with the kiddo all day. And so I want to get it. He's still sleeping. but like, we have the time, which is awesome, to spend time and to give these guys the respect and the dignity and the notoriety that they deserve. Congratulations. You made it on an episode of the 49ers Rush podcast. It's what everybody dreams of. Being facetious, of course. But it's pretty cool. Like, this dude has played in the NFL for 17 years and is a long snapper. Make long snappers players matter. You know what I mean? Like, they're freaking awesome. They're freaking awesome. What's up, Kimbro? Appreciate you. John Weeks is over 2,080 weeks old, says Big Brick. I love that. it matters. And think about how much everybody enjoyed Eddie Pinheiro last season, which, I mean, good gosh, hey, that kicker, we'll get to Eddie P way further down the road in this roster countdown. You don't get the excitement and the consistency and the big moments of Eddie Pinheiro without the consistency of John Weeks. You just don't. If Tabor Pepper was on the roster last year, Tabor's taking some shots here, but he's all right. He can take them. It's not like we're choking him like Debo or anything. Eddie Pinheiro is not going to have the season he had last year with Tabor Pepper. I'm just going to be very honest. I always thought it was very strange that Tabor Pepper kept getting brought back. I never thought he was very good. I never thought he was consistent. High, low, you know, he was just not consistent at all. But John Weeks is the definition of that. Shannon, love that you're bringing the importance of the long snappers into the light. Yes. Yes. Maria, love highlighting these guys. I love it, man. You guys are the best. Oh, look at that. Matthew says, happy birthday to Mike. That's right. Turns 18 today. And what's even crazier than that, this dude is moving out on his own to Texas. Whew. Life comes at you fast. You don't stop and take a look around once in a while. It'll pass you by, man. It goes quick. Enjoy your time with your loved ones. Yeah, Pepper is taking strays. What's up, Dave? We got Ben in the house. Shout out to Ben, Josh, and Zach, the executive producers of this entire series. And the Notorious GAV, I feel like he can appreciate some long snapper takes. I know he's a fullback slash kicker punter guy, but Notorious, are you also a long snapper aficionado as myself. I feel like we're in this together. I do. Now, real quick, just program alert. We do have our Zoom hangout that we do monthly. Coming up this Monday on the 29th, 5 p.m. Pacific time, that has already been posted on the Patreon and the 49ersrush.com. And if you want to support the show, the way I pay my bills, the way I support my family, it is through those two avenues. Yeah, we make a little bit with, you know, ad revenue with YouTube and Spotify and all those different things. The number one way that I am allowed to continue my full-time employment doing nothing but Niners content for you guys. This is episode, what is it, 1,665 of the 49ers Rush. The way that you do that is by signing up for our Patreon, the 49ers Rush, patreon.com/49ersrush, or the 49ersrush.com. Whether you can make it to the Zoom meetings, watch the film breakdowns, all those things, or you just want to support what we do so we can continue to do that, take time, sign up over there. We have memberships for as little as $2, and first 7 days are free. Check it out. Check it out. As someone who travels nonstop for sporting events at the 49ers Rush Road Trip, I can tell you one of the most difficult things is the logistics. Finding out where to stay, how to get there, the timing, how to get your whole group, everything all together. Well, Outdoorsy solves all of these problems. And thousands of RVs and campers nationwide are available right wherever you are. And there's so many ways you could do it. You could drive the RV yourself, you can tow it, or you can have it delivered and have it fully set up at your destination. It's so simple. It's three easy steps. You search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. You book with confidence. It comes with insurance, customer support, protection, all that's included. Then you hit the road or arrive and relax. Whether you're driving, towing, getting it delivered, it doesn't matter. And so for sporting events, you want to go check out the World Cup this summer. You're wanting to, it's the 100th anniversary of Route 66. It doesn't matter what you want or need. They have you covered. So right now, my listeners can have all service fees removed, completely removed from their booking in 2026 with code 49ers. That's 49ERS at outdoorsy.com. That's outdoorsy.com and use code 49ers at checkout to remove all service fees. You might have heard the phrase, dirty hands, clean money. It's a blue-collar saying that has been around forever. The idea that hard, honest work is how you earn a good life and everything in it. Troll Co., it's a clothing brand built around that. Started by two guys out in the oil patch who worked hard their whole lives and could not find anything that represented people like them. So they made it. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. And here is what I keep thinking about. The faithful rep red and gold with real conviction. Not because it's easy, but because it means something. We are the best fan base in sports. That is the exact same energy Troll Co. runs on. You wear it because of what it stands for. And I was raised from blue collar work. My father ran a construction crew his entire life. My oldest son works in the oil fields in Texas. My youngest son, he's going to become a firefighter. Like, this is who we are. And so when you think about what you sacrifice most, people don't see. But you go to trollco.com/rush. That's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Go check them out. Amazing company, amazing people, amazing product. Wonderful thing to support. Again, that's trollco.com/rush and use code RUSH25 for 25% off your first order. Look at this, Portola. Positive energy to your son. Love that. Kimbro, my man, thanks for the super chat. Hello, faithful, and happy birthday to your son, John. Less than a month before training camp, since I'm on the West Coast now, going to training camp practices and the home game events. Oh, Kimbro, my man, we got to link up. We got to link up. We got to. It's got to happen. So, yeah, there we go. Special teams, special players. Love it, love it, love it. Yeah, Notorious, I love me some Tabor Pepper. He was a fan favorite. John going deep with the Ferris Bueller quote. Oh, I'm glad somebody got it. Ugh. Great show. Great show. Great show. Kimbro, the Zoom hangouts are worth the membership alone. That's what's up. Thank you, Kimbro. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Number 52. Let's just keep counting them down. Darrell Luter Jr. better football player game-wise than he is practicer. Horrible practicer. Hasn't stayed healthy. And then the 49ers go out and add a lot of cornerback depth. You spend a fourth-round pick on Ephesians Prysock. Yeah, Darrell Luter Jr. is no longer the largest corner in the room. And you bring in not one but two vets in Nate Hobbs and Jack Jones to compete as well. Niners returned every single corner last year. Now, I am not a Darrell Luter Jr. guy. Never really have been. You know, whenever I go to the practices, training camps, all those things, I'm just like, dude, this guy's getting toasted and picked on by third-team quarterbacks. But whenever he shows up in game time, plays pretty damn good. Very physical, big corner, 6'1", 190, long arms. You see him next to Diamador Lenore, Renardo Green, Upton Stout. You're just like, all right, this guy's built different. The physicality comes across consistently. He just hasn't stayed healthy. And he's going into his fourth year. And, man, we can track his ranking on our countdowns. His rookie year was number 45 in 2023. Sophomore year in 2024, he was 30th on the countdown. Really thought he was going to earn a starting role. Never happened. Last year, dropped to 56. Bumped up four spots. Now he's 52. He played well last year. Where's jersey number 28? His tape was consistent. It wasn't great. It was nothing like, oh, wow, how do you give Renardo Green his job? It was nothing like that. But it wasn't worse than what Renardo Green did. He didn't have the big, you know, guess it, you know, on all the double moves and being out of place like Renardo Green. But Renardo Green's a better corner. Second round pick, you kind of look at, you know, Darrell Luter Jr. was a fifth round pick from a small school. A little bit different. He's 26 years old, young. He went to Pearl City Community College for two seasons, then transferred to South Alabama, stayed there, went to Oak Grove High School, played three sports, football, basketball, ran track, was only a two-star recruit coming out. He did the community college and transferred. 49ers drafted him in the fifth round of the 2023 draft. And probably what hurts the most is you look at the players that went after Darrell Luter Jr. was on the board, and it's just like, ouch. Obviously, Puka Nacua, that's huge. Chase Brown, Dontavian Wicks, Henry Toto. I'm sure I didn't pronounce that one right. But, like, man, you've got these kind of four stud starters that went after him. That hurts. That's not Darrell Luter Jr.'s fault. But whenever you put it into context, it's like, man, could have, would have, should have. That game's dangerous, but it hurts. Now, he was known as kind of old man because he had a kid whenever he was like 18 and just mature. I remember in the rookie interviews, just like, dude, this dude seems like he's like 35 years old. Chill, calm, collected. Just mature, and you know he's a dad from a young age and all those things, and I think that translates. I like the maturity. He just hasn't been the player the 49ers have hoped. Missed almost the entire first training camp, missed the entire second training camp, missed parts of the third training camp. Now he's in his fourth training camp. Can he stay healthy to where he's not rehabbing and trying to overcome, but instead polishing his game, improving his technique? That's what he needs. He needs reps because he's not getting a lot of playing time either. The thing that you hold your hat on is he's so good in the run game. Big physical corner, long arms, not and runs a 4.4. Like, he checks a lot of the boxes. He's played in 27 games for the 49ers in three seasons. Only has three starts, 38 tackles, one tackle for loss, one forced fumble, one pass breakup. But he's just been injured. Hamstring, pelvis injury. Got to stay healthy. Now, having said that, last year, Darrell Luter Jr. played in all 17 regular season games. It was mostly on special teams. He played 583 snaps last year. 308 were on special teams. Wasn't a great special teamer, but he was pretty damn good at kickoff coverage. Thought he registered positive game after game after game on kickoff coverage. Some dumb plays on punt, which you go back to the Super Bowl. One of the reasons why you lost the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, Darrell Luter Jr. not getting the hell away on a Peter call. Anyway, I wasn't going to bring that up. I deleted it from my notes so that I wouldn't bring it up, so that I wouldn't get mad. And here we are. Now I'm pissed, Darrell Luter Jr. Gonna have to move you down the countdown. I'm joking. But he's in the last year of his rookie deal. He's made $2.8 million. And you look at the depth chart. This is the problem for Terrell Luter Jr. You got D'Amador Lenore. Usually only keep five corners. Renardo Green, Upton Stout, Ephesians, Price Ox. Locks. That's four. That means there's one spot left for Nate Hobbs, Terrell Luter Jr., Jack Jones, Jacob Robinson, Eli Apple. Eli Apple probably not in the competition. Jacob Robinson outside looking in. So if you can only keep one of Nate Hobbs, Terrell Luter, Jack Jones, man, you're kind of behind everything because both Jack Jones and Nate Hobbs can play inside, outside. Luter cannot. He's an outside corner only. I don't know if he's going to make the roster. But I do hold my hat on the fact that when Terrell Luter Jr. went in and played in season, had 200 snaps at the cornerback position because they benched Renardo Green because he was just a goofball, played well. Like, he's an NFL player. Is he a starting level corner in the NFL? He is not. Is he a number four corner? Sure. Is he a number five corner? Yes. Can he be the number five corner for the 49ers? That's kind of the question because it's just too deep. It's such a deep spot. So, like, can he beat out Jack Jones, Jacob Robinson, Nate Hobbs for that fifth corner spot? Maybe the Niners keep six and only three safeties. I doubt that, but it's possible. Get a handshake agreement with Ashton Davis and say, hey, we're not going to put you on our 53, but we signed you off the street. We're going to bring you back because he's a vested vet. Niners do that all the time. So you can finagle the numbers a little bit if you're like, man, I really don't want to lose all of these guys. But even six is going to be rough for Terrell Luter. Can he beat out Jack Jones, Jacob Robinson? Got to beat them both out. Have to. But played hard. Look at Kimbrough. Yeah, Luter showed some heart last year, 100%. What's up, Rusty? It says, join in late. I was listening to yesterday's show. Man, we're giving you as much as we can. And again, I'm reminding everybody, Chapman going AWOL for a little bit. Me and the wifey are going on vacation, been saving up for years for this, our 20th anniversary. And so going to be missing probably about 12 to 13 days. I hope you guys, hopefully y'all forgive me. Notorious, what's up, man? Is Krug still super high on Luter? He is. I think Luter's going to be a career journeyman in the NFL. If the Niners cut him, he will be claimed. Like I said, he's an ideal five cornerback, which almost every single team keeps five corners, but could be a four. He's a four, five, or six corner. Outside corner only, that limits him, but can't play on special teams. Doesn't seem to have any problems off the field, just injuries. Luter Jr. Oh, man. Yeah, it's what it is. What's up, NH Niners? What's up, man? Glad I caught you live. Love the channel. You're the best. Am I crazy for being okay with our corner and safety situation? Not that I think they'll all be great. It's just that, you know, this coaching staff, I think, will help. Corner room's loaded. Now, are there studs in the corner room? I don't think so. But, man, you bring in a fourth-round pick, Ephesians Prysock. He's now the biggest, fastest corner you got in the room. You bring in experience in Nate Hobbs and Jack Jones. Like, the depth is there. The quarterback coaching and defensive back coaching, Jerry Gray, baby. I'm going back to my Longhorns. Ugh, how many Longhorn references can we get in this show? Dude's College Football Hall of Fame. Incredible NFL career. One of the best DB coaches former, you know, defensive coordinator. Dude's awesome at the college and NFL level. The experience that he brings. We haven't had a DB coach like this since Steve Wilks. And I know a lot of people, every time I bring up Steve Wilks, get upset. But, damn, our safeties played great that year. Can you get that elevated play from the safety room? We'll see. All good about Puka. 49ers don't need any cannibals. Oh, man, that's a comment right there. Matthew, man, today is my grandmother's 94th birthday, too. Headed to see her now in Vallejo. Dude, what is up? Way to go, Grandma 94. Whew. That is awesome. That is worth celebrating. What an amazing, beautiful human I'm sure she is. And congrats to her and the family and the impact she has made. Ah, man, that is cool. Kimbrough, I think Nate Hobbs makes it over Luter. I do, too. I do as well. I think Nate Hobbs plays over Prysock, but you keep fourth-round picks. You don't cut those. So like, you know, my pecking order is Demo, Renardo Green, Upton Stout, Prysock, Hobbs, Luter, Jack Jones. That's my current order. Doesn't mean that's what it's going to stay. Doesn't mean that's what the 49ers see it as. Hobbs and Jones can both play corner and safety. Yeah. There's almost any corner that can play safety unless you are just scared in the run game because you have to be that alley player so consistently. So like Ambry Thomas, Akello Witherspoon, those types of guys cannot play that position, right? The guys that are just scared to hit. Luter could do that. Now, his change of direction is not great, but like you fell at corner, then you go to safety. I would argue probably 92% of corners in the NFL can play safety as well. Some obviously better than others, no doubt about it. And Hobbs and Jack Jones have much more of a safety build than Darrell Luter Jr. do. But 6 foot 190 with long arms, that could play safety 100%. 100%. Yeah, that's just the way it goes. Maybe not this year, but I still think the 49ers should be, you know, getting Ephesius Prysock to become a free safety for us in the next few years. Yeah, again, you fail him at corner. Much more valuable position. Niners value the outside corner position so much. Do not value the safety position at all. I would argue they care about the safety position dead last. Safety is the least. If you had Kyle Shanahan rank every single position, safety's dead last. Not even close. Safety is like, there's a chasm between safety and any other position for the 49ers. It is just bottom of the barrel. Which is crazy because John Lynch, your general manager, is a Hall of Fame safety. And he got up there pre-draft. Is like, we see safety as a premium position. We're just not going to draft one, even though we're light at the position. No, just pick somebody up off the scrap heap. Ashton Davis, chance he starts week one. Leon, what's up? Do you think Jacob Robinson has any chance to push for a spot? Do they like Jacob Robinson? They really, really like him. They want him to prove he can play outside corner. Whenever I go through Jacob Robinson's tape, it was like, dude, this guy's a nickel only. He's so small. Tackling's a problem for him. Mentality's not. He's just tiny. Tiny arms, tiny hands, tiny body. And so you're like, dude, this guy can't play on the outside. He just can't do it. Niners played him exclusively at the outside. And they're like, dude, you're going to make this roster. You got to be able to play both. So you got to prove to us you play outside corner. Had some good moments in camp. Like, he is a practicer, dude. He is feisty. Gets in the games. Man, I think he had 4 missed tackles and 1 actual tackle in the preseason games. Broke his forearm. Gave him another year. I'm very high on Jacob Robinson as a cover corner. Feisty. Got to learn to tackle and hold your own out there. Now, full offseason in the weight room. I think that's huge. You know, broke his forearm, and that happened in the preseason. You're talking 2 months, all right? He was probably weight room eating weights since October, November at the latest. Yeah. What's he going to come in? Is he going to have some built on size that will translate to helping him bring players down? Why not? I'm telling you, ball skills elite, cover skills elite, Jacob Robinson. Got to prove he can hold it in the run game. And if the 49ers move on from Jacob Robinson, there are teams that do not give a crap about supporting the run game. Niners, very important. Other teams, some of them don't care. Cowboys don't care. Really don't care. I could see them, you know, getting a spot with a team like that. See what that is. So, yeah, there we go. There we go. So that's number 52. All right. Now it's rookie time, baby. We've got not one, not two, but 3 consecutive rookies on our countdown because, man, you've got to get these guys above the 53 because they're making the roster. 4th-round picks make the roster. 5th-round picks make the roster. It's just what it is. Now, if you're going to any 49ers game this year, you know who you got to party with. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its 6th year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And A lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Oh, man. That comment in the chat is fire. I ain't read it, though. All right, here we go. Number 51. And again, you have to remember, this is the biggest impact to the 2026 season, okay? And so the order of these rookies doesn't go in the order in which they were drafted, doesn't go in the order of which long-term impact. This is this season only. Number 51, Enrique Cruz Jr., the first offensive tackle drafted by the 49ers in not one, not two, not three, not four, but five consecutive NFL drafts. Let's give a round of applause to the 49ers for finally drafting an offensive tackle. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, if I was going to project career-long impact for the 49ers, Enrique Cruz would be much higher on this list than 51. The depth chart buries him to a developmental play only this year. And even if there was an injury at the offensive tackle spot, I still don't think Enrique Cruz Jr. would play. I think Vidarian Lowe is going to hold that spot. Maybe we'll see what happens. Maybe if Colton McKivitz and they just practice Enrique at right tackle, if Colton McKivitz goes down, God forbid, definitely do not want that. But yeah, that's kind of where that would be. Stupid Google Sheets refreshing while I'm on it. You got to be kidding me. How dare you? How dare you? The audacity. Anyway, I love Enrique Cruz. Elite frame, athleticism, run game highlights. Oh, you see it. This is a big old dude, man. He wears jersey number 69. 6'5", 313. Listen to the athletic comps. You look at his spider chart. Jeez, man. Lower body athleticism and explosiveness off the charts. Almost every single testable metric above 95%. Trent Williams, 84% match. Caleb Lomu, 82%. Jamal Brown, 81%. Joe Thomas, 80%. Elite traits. Elite skill set. Tape doesn't match. Now, you are hoping that he could get to the point where the tape matches the traits. That is the hope. But you got to remember, this is a fifth-round pick. Dane Brugler had him as a sixth-round pick. I did not grade him. He was not one of my 200. He went 177 overall. This was a guy that lost his starting spot at Syracuse 18 months ago. Like, I am very high on Enrique Cruz because you could see what it could become. And that's what he is. He's a high upside developmental play. Dude got benched at Syracuse. Like you see him, mean? Like, you have to put it into perspective. You have to put it into context. It's very easy to sit here and say, this is the Trent Williams replacement, and the 49ers are now locked up at tackle for the next decade, and it'd be, you know, Joe Staley, Trent Williams, Enrique Cruz. I'm not saying that's what it's going to be. Could it be that? Yeah. A likelihood of that? Nah. Not for a fifth-round pick. It's not. But the athletic traits and the explosiveness say, dude, if this dude gets coached up, you could have a player with some elite traits step into one of those positions, left tackle, right tackle. Born in Chicago and was at Syracuse, got benched, transferred to Kansas. Damn good year at Kansas. Damn good year. Best tape by far. He went to Willowbrook High School in Chicago, started playing football in fifth grade, had to move up to the eighth grade to play with them because he was so damn big. Again, 6'5", 313, and freak athlete. Chose basketball was his main sport and then eventually later committed to football. He also wrestled. That is a huge positive. State qualifying for the state championship for shot and discus. Dude's just athlete, man. Huge athlete. It doesn't matter if it's basketball, wrestling, track, football. They don't make humans like Enrique Cruz Jr. They just don't. He's played both right tackle and left tackle. 16 starts at right tackle, 14 at left tackle. And, you know, You look at, we have breakdowns up on him at the 49ersRush.com and our Patreon. If you want to go watch the coach's tape and I show you the footwork, I show you the hands, I show you the positives, negatives. Look, elite frame, elite athleticism, physical hands. His highlights in the run game, you see just like, holy cow, what? Like, if you just make highlights of Enrique Cruz Jr., you're like, dude, this dude should have been a second-round pick, first-round pick. He checks all the boxes. Game tape, not so much. And he doesn't play with great knee bend. That's, you know, plays way too upright, and he could get away with that at the college level. You got to play with better knee bend. You really got to play with a better anchor step, all those things. He doesn't play confident either. Like, he's too rushed, tries to engage too early, gets his weight out over his skis, balance issues. Like, he needs seasoning. Now, the Kansas staff, shout out to Dane Brugler and The Athletic, the Kansas staff said he showed up motivated, positive mindset, great person, great player. You love that. What's John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan always say? We want guys that love football. Enrique Cruz Jr. loves football, period. He just needs seasoning. Now, as excited as I am for the 49ers to draft Enrique Cruz, finally an offensive tackle, if you were Enrique Cruz's agent and you could say, man, you could go anywhere in the NFL, where would you like to go? 49ers would be number one, two, and three on that list because he gets to learn from freaking Trent Williams. He gets to just step back and go through NFL 101 and learn. You get Chris Forster, who's coached greats after greats after greats. Like, the amount of experience and just knowledge and know-how that he gets to just sit back and say, look, you're redshirted here, bro. You ain't playing this year, even if Trent Williams gets injured. But you're going to get all these practice reps because Trent Williams doesn't practice on Wednesdays. Sometimes doesn't practice on Thursdays. So you're going to get all these practice reps against Nick Bosa, Mikael Williams, like nonstop. Congratulations. But then you get to watch in the games. You get to see it develop. You get to build the weight room. Like, I love this draft pick. I value Enrique Cruz Jr. way more than I do Carver Willis. Way more than I do Ephesians Prysock. Now, again, wasn't one of my 200. But whenever you deep dive into it and you see, like, good gosh, what this could be. I love gambling. You guys know I like gambling. I bet all the time. I love gambling on upside at the back end of drafts. 2026, not a great draft class as a whole. From an NFL standpoint, the talent standpoint that was out there. But, dude, getting a fifth-round tackle with these upside traits, oh, just absolutely love it. Now, you look at his PFF scores, Enrique Cruz Jr., 69.9 run blocking, 67.3 pass blocking, gave up 2 sacks, 4 quarterback hits, 10 hurries. All right, whatever. He's making this roster. You don't cut fifth-round picks. You really, really don't. I am a huge, huge Enrique Cruz fan. The fit. All of it, just like, oh, man. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Oh, look at this, Big Red. Who's coming to Dallas? I have some couches and blow-up mattresses. My man. Dude, I still haven't got my Dallas tickets. I'm trying to plan, like, all right, I'm going to visit family. I'm going to do all that. But then do I stay in Dallas, then go straight to Mexico the next week? Do I go to Dallas, fly back to the Bay, then fly to Mexico City? I'm doing both those trips, obviously. But I'm like, man, I don't know how to do it. And I haven't got my plane tickets yet. And that's a problem because they're going up. Ugh. Anyway, Logan, looking at Enrique Cruz Jr.'s tape, it looks promising. Doesn't mean he's going to be a starter. Really doesn't. But man, it's easy to watch it and just be like, oh, there it is. Yeah. Okay. Just get consistent, get some better technique, learn. Yeah, man. Ben. Cruz athletically very similar to Trent Williams. They look similar, man. And Trent's probably the largest human I've ever seen in person. Stood next to and said what's up and shook his head. Like, yeah, Trent block out the sun, man. Enrique Cruz Jr. not far off. It really, really is. And Maria, yeah, he has the raw ability to become an impact player. It's there for sure. And Chris Forster, we trust. I like that. Coaching really matters in Enrique's case. Like, coaching matters, period. The developmental aspect is huge. And if Chris Forster has done anything, it's take back end late round draft picks and make them capable NFL players. That is his specialty. Does he take great players and make them better? I don't know. But Chris Forster, again, his entire philosophy, give me an average guy, we can get above average play out of him. And that's from Chris Forster's mouth himself. Enrique Cruz is the next special. Give up on Jake Brindle. Let's allow that one to run its course this year. Let's move on. And let's focus on these next two rookies. What's up, man? Kimbrough from the mean streets of Chicago. I lived there for a couple months while in boot camp. There we go. But again, perspective. And Logan right here, not going to lie, getting benched at Syracuse, got to have him with a chip on the shoulder. Yeah, dude, you hear those stories. What's up, Red Jet? So glad to see you. Little salt and pepper on Cruz. Watch him sprout. There we go. Just need some seasoning. Just need some seasoning on there, man. Yeah, big red. Only thing I don't like about Trent Williams is from Longview. Yeah, gross, man. Yeah, I ain't doing that, Lobos. No way, man. No way. No. Not going to do it. Can't do it. Won't do it. Can't do it. Can't win with them. Kimbrough, McKivitz is a good example of average, but getting the most of everything. They had to cut McKivitz. McKivitz got cut. Brought him back on the practice squad. Now he's a top 12 right tackle in the NFL. I would argue probably top 8 right tackle. Like, that's a 5th-round pick. That is a home run. If you could outline Colton McKivitz's career for Enrique Cruz Jr., sign me up. Sign me up now. Are you kidding me? Allow Enrique Cruz a year to 2 years to step into one of the tackle spots, which are going to come open. Because, shoot, man, like, Trent Williams, 37. Colton McKivitz, 32. Like, they're long in the tooth. You need somebody. I would not be upset, man, if Enrique Cruz, and I would not be excited. I wouldn't be surprised is the word I was looking for. I was having a little moment there. All right. Now, speaking of Chris Forster specials, let's go to number 50. Carver Willis. Drafted a full round, you know, 4th round, 127 pick. Man, I just don't think... I'm just going to be very honest here. I am not the biggest Carver Willis fan. I don't like his tape near as much as I like Enrique Cruz's. Having said that, because Carver Willis' lack of athleticism, his future is probably going to be at the center position. Now, he's ranked higher on this list because he has an outside shot to compete for that left guard spot. So that's why he's ranked higher. Personally, I don't even think that that's going to be an option. Maybe I'm wrong there. Maybe I'm wrong. But Carver Willis, fun player. Future center. Athleticism's not there. Frame's not there. But you watch him play in the run game, and you're just like, that's a 49ers offensive lineman. You see it. Now, he's only played tackle his entire career, and damn good at it. But his lack of frame, lack of athleticism, lack of bend, it just doesn't translate. Like, if you stood Carver Willis next to Enrique Cruz, you're like, 100 out of 100 people are going to take Enrique Cruz just based on the frame and the build and those types of things. But, you know, 6'5", 302, nothing to scoff at, like, size-wise, just narrow shoulders, narrow hips, short arms, short, small hands, and he's not quick. But, man, he blocks with a purpose. Really, really does. Went from Kansas State, then transferred to Washington, and just played well. Grew up in Durango, Colorado, and this is a guy, you know, it's funny because, you know, Niners are big on personalities. This dude's a personality. Like, he's not George Kittle. Nobody's George Kittle, but he's George Kittle light. Like, this dude is, he's got something, whether that's a future podcast host or entertainer. Like, there's some of that in him. And it makes sense. You start looking, like, his dad's a pastor. His mom's a special ed teacher. So you talk about, like, people give it back and all that kind of stuff. Like, it's in there, and you see it. Grew up in Durango, Colorado. Attended Durango High School. He's the youngest of 3 kids. He was born in Llano, Texas. Now, here's what's crazy to me. is you start looking at like his two older sisters, Kenna and Kayla, and Willis credits his sister Kayla for introducing him to football. She played left guard. It's awesome. Just awesome. And middle linebacker from fourth grade through her sophomore year in high school. She played high school football in Colorado. Now, after her playing days, she became the stadium announcer and announced the games that Willis played in. That is just so cool. Yeah, I love that story. And, you know, you go back to Carver Willis. He played quarterback in Little League, became engaged just recently with Maddie, who graduated from Kansas State. That's where they met. Carver Willis goes to the Senior Bowl, plays really, really well. They move him to center. They move him to guard. 49ers there. They love Senior Bowl players. That's where he got on the Niners' radar. It's just a fun personality. Now, film-wise, it's positive, negative. Run game, nothing but positives. Like you just see it. Gets movement in the run game consistently. Blocks with an attitude. Mean, nasty. Like wants to finish players and let them know that they got dominated. Then you watch pass pro and it's just like, what the hell is this? This is just not it. Athleticism or lack thereof shows on Carver Willis's tape consistently. And he's at tackle, which he gets the job. He's a get the job done type of guy in pass pro, but technique is horrible. Footwork is horrible. No bend at all. Like Enrique Cruz needs to work on his bend. Carver Willis, dude. I don't know when he bends his knees. You don't see it. It can't anchor. Now you're going to move him to guard and go one-on-one with the defensive tackle, three tech? Absolutely not. Center is the place for him to be. But, man, the run game, it's just every single play is just like that meme of that girl. It's just like, well, actually, like, okay, no, this is awful. Okay. Like, it's just this back-and-forth seesaw run game, pass game. And so the Niners are like, dude, this guy fits our run game and what we want. Pass pro, not so much. Played 45. He's got 45 career starts. Love that. I love K-State linemen, by the way. Over 1,800 career snaps. He's got, you know, he's played ridiculous. Left guard, left tackle, right guard. He's played everywhere. Missed three games back in 2025 with the MCL. All right. But you look at his grades. 79.9 overall, great. 69.2 pass pro, all right. 84.8 run blocking. That is what it is. That is what he brings. I don't think he's going to be involved in the – I think he'll be in the competition at left guard, but I think it's going to be, look, dude, you're not getting cut. You're a fourth-round pick. Learn the left guard spot. You're going to move to center next year. That's just what it is. Dominic Pooney, Connor Colby, Brett Toth, Robert Jones, I have all ahead of him at the left guard spot, but he could surprise. I would be shocked if he is even the backup left guard, to be honest with you. I think that they would move Toth over. They would move Robert Jones in, Connor Colby, whoever wins that. But like, I think he'd be third in line to play left guard. This is another just developmental play. Just what it is. So anyway, and yeah, Kimbrough, I'm with you. I have Connor Colby winning the left guard spot and locking that down. I really, really do. I'm pulling for Colby too. Would be cool if took Kittle's advice, take better care of his body. Yeah, that's huge. I'm trying to take that advice as well. I'm sore as hell today. Rough day. Oh, rough day. Body's so sore. Logan, ideally if Colby wins that spot, it's a win for the Niners knowing we made the right draft selection. Dude, seventh round starter. That's rare as hell. I would love it. I would love it. I would love it. Willis is the finisher. Brindle's never been in the run game. They are complete antithesis of each other. Brindle, pass pro, horrible in the run game. And not horrible. Brindle gets to the points. He just has no functional strength whatsoever and quits after a second and a half of every single play, turns around and watches. All-time watcher, Jake Brindle. Carver Willis wants to kill people. Like the whistle is there for the defender's protection. Terrible in pass pro, though. So, yeah, I think the 49ers just seeing like, man, why is our run game not work? Well, our center's not doing anything. So, like, he's not helping us. He'll get to the linebacker and just patty cake and then turn around and watch CMC get tackled, shrug his shoulders, won't help him up, step over his dead body, and go start the new huddle. Like, Carver Willis ain't never going to do that in his career, period. Kimbrough, Pony didn't have knee bend last year because of the injury, and it affected his game. Pony's play got better, better, better the further he got away from that injury. It's just what it is right here. So it's McGlinchey 2.0. Yeah, but from a center guard position. And again, like I know we all dunk on McGlinchey. I think he's like the third highest paid right tackle in the NFL still. Like, I'm not a McGlinchey guy. I would prefer Colton McKivitz. I think he's better. But McGlinchey, I know people get mad. But, like, if you compare them, right tackles are not good in the NFL. There we go. Notorious. For the record, I love McGlinchey. He was a cool dude. Just getting posterized a little too much. Just a little too much. That's what it is. But it happens sometimes. Now, we got one more rookie to talk about. Excited about this one. Longer wingspan than LeBron James? Next up. You want to support local business? You want to do what's right for the environment? Go to themattressguyco.com. Locally owned business, diehard Niner fan that supports the show, supports the 49ers rush road trips. He is a legend. So if you have a mattress you want to get rid of, you just go to themattressguyco.com, set an appointment. They come pick it up. Easy peasy. Support. I mean, it's just, it's a win-win-win. Go to themattressguyco.com, support local business, and do what's right for the environment. I love it. It's a win. All right. Oh, here we go. Look at this. Big Tone, appreciate you, man. Thanks for the super chat. Just saying, Jake Brindles likes to watch. LOL, JK. Jake Brindles, awesome. Such a cool dude, man. Just quit quitting. You know what I mean? Just quit quitting. Have some pride. Have some pride out there. Stop trying to elongate the career. Go freaking finish. And again, this is a personal thing for me because as a coach, I can't handle quitters. I can't handle guys that – and Trent Williams does the same thing, but it's different. Trent Williams is different. Like, you're not Trent. And so, yeah. Anyway, why you make me talk about this, man? It's what it is. All right, number 49, our last one on the roster countdown for today, Jaden Duggar. Dude has an 84 3/8 wingspan, 3/8 of an inch longer than LeBron James, 6'4", 240. This dude, frame, upside, tackling machine. Tackling fuel. Fifth round pick, 154 overall. And again, I have him higher than Carver Willis and Enrique Cruz because linebackers play special teams. This guy, if he makes the roster, which again, fifth round picks make the roster. Sixth round picks sometimes don't. Seventh round picks usually don't. Fifth round picks make the roster. I would probably say 99% of the time. He is just, and special teams is made up of tight ends and linebackers and safeties. You can throw running backs in there too, but like you need guys like this to play special teams. That's where it is. Logan, yeah. Duggar is a walking specimen. 22 years old. Now, the tape. This is a traits-only player. Tape's bad. Like, bad. Lots of A's. Like, bad. Tape is really bad. Was at Georgetown as a safety. Then kind of translated to the nickel, to the, you know, kind of Will linebacker, then to Mike linebacker at the Louisiana Lafayette. And, man, that Mike tape is about as bad as it can get. I mean, I'm just going to be very honest. Like, I have a breakdown up, and I'm just like, oh, geez. Feet are in quicksand. You know, looking like D winners out there, just eyes aren't matching the feet and all that stuff. But dude's never played the same position more than 1 year. At safety, he played a couple years. But, like, he's not going to be a safety. You're going to be a Sam slash Will for the 49ers, and you're going to make life simple and read simple. You're hoping the traits blossom into something. But for the first year, you just put him out there on special teams and just go. Like, dude, 6'4", 240 with that arm length? Yeah. Kickoff coverage. Kickoff. Punt. Punt return. Yeah. Field goal block. He's going to be on all of it. Grew up in Pittsburgh with his parents, Lance and Tanisha. Shout out to Lance and Tanisha. Following in the footsteps of his two older brother, he played basketball, football as a kid. Sadly, his older brother, DeJuan, died at the age of 24 just 3 years ago, which is just heartbreaking. So sorry for his family and the loss. But like that, you know, and we include that stuff because that affects who you are as a human. The tragedy that you have to overcome, especially as somebody who's lost so many family members, it affects how you do daily life. Jaden, you know, didn't really get a lot of offers, was an FCS guy, goes to Georgetown after 2 years as a safety, wanted to move up to the FBS, so he transferred to Louisiana, the house that Elijah Mitchell built, joking somewhat there, moved to dime linebacker, then edge, was kind of a Sam Jack type guy, very similar to how Raheem Morris probably going to use him. And then he moved to Mike for 2025, and that was just really not cool for him. It was really, really bad. But you look at the elite wingspan, and that shows on tape. He is a great tackler. He's a tackling machine. He's late everywhere he goes, but he's a wrap-up artist. And, you know, because he played safety, he feels comfortable in space. You see that in the coverage. You see that. I mean, shoot, he had 8 pass breakups, 2 interceptions in his career. Like, he's got ball skills for a linebacker. It's just, where the hell do you put him? When the Niners first drafted him, I thought he was going to be an edge. Now they're going to move him back to linebacker. KJ Wright, this is KJ Wright pick. Big KJ Wright fan. And he's built just like KJ Wright. But he's going to be one of these versatile guys in that new Raheem Morris kind of, you know, 5'2", whatever you want to call it. So it's going to be fun to see. But this is a what he can be type of pick. He's not even close to polished. He's not even close to being a project. He's stages before that. This is, dude, you're a special teams only player that's going to shadow Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, and hopefully you learn some things. Maybe he's a special team. Maybe he's Luke Gifford. Maybe that's his career, where you're just a special teamer, and maybe we just send you on 1 or 2 blitzes a game and put you on some goal line packages because of your size. Maybe that's what it is. But Jaden Duggar's going to play. Will it be on the defensive side? Not this year. Yeah, you look at the depth chart at linebacker. Holy hell. We talked about cornerback depth and offensive tackle depth. Yeah, it's a lot. Man, linebacker, Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, Tatum Bethune, Luke Gifford, Nick Martin, Jaden Duggar, Garrett Wallow, Jalen Graham, Larry Worth Jr., and then up, like, that's 9 guys. Sometimes you keep 6 just because of special teams. Usually you keep 5. Sometimes you keep 4. But with Luke Gifford being the all-pro Pro Bowl special teamer, which we championed that one. We started calling that one in week 3. We'll have to see. But, like, Garrett Wallow started a game in the playoffs and won against Philly and proved elite special teamer. Can you provide that you're better than Garrett Wallow? I mean, you can't cut a 5th-round pick. I mean, you can. But damn, that is horrible practice if you're cutting 5th-round picks. Like, you got to see what they can do. I don't know. Somebody's going to have some mysterious injuries. No doubt about that. Oh, man, I like Jaden Duggar. I don't like his tape at all. I don't like his tape at all. But traits, and that's the thing. You know, I talked with Larry about this before. Like, background, which the Niners didn't have 6th, 7th round picks. You had 5th round picks. So, like, background, you either take a chance on an all-out football guy with no traits, Carver Willis, or you take a guy on all-out traits and no football tape, Jaden Duggar. They did both. I love that. You could throw Ephesians Priceaux in there with the traits. You could throw Enrique Cruz in there with the traits. They're a little bit more well-rounded prospects. But Carver Willis and Jaden Duggar are opposite sides of the same coin. All-out football guy with no traits, Carver Willis, and all-out traits guy with no football tape, Jaden Duggar. And I might be oversimplifying the narrative a little bit there, but Jaden Duggar's a long way to go. Shedded. Yes, I'm excited about this guy. Just temper expectations. You just got to temper those because I don't think we're going to see him out there a lot. Now, in the preseason, we will, and he's going to struggle, man. Logan Duggar would barely need to jump to grab intercept. He's huge, man. He's a basketball player. It's just there. NH, Niners. I'm excited about our young players from the last few drafts, offense and defensive players alike. I still think Pearsall and Green are better than people think, along with Williams, Collins, and West. People are upset. I'm not going after anybody here. You get a draft like 2023, the Brock Purdy year, or 2022. You get a year like 2022 where you have the best pick of probably the last 10 years in the NFL in Brock Purdy. But people are upset because all the other picks missed. But you got a franchise quarterback with the last pick in the draft. Never been done before, ever in the history of the NFL. People are upset about that. Like, well, you had all these misses, so yeah. Then you look at the last 2 years' drafts, and the people are upset because, man, you got no home runs. You got no misses either. Every single one of those picks still in the NFL, still in the roster. Like, that's rare in and of itself. So it's kind of hard. Like, every year isn't going to be 2019 where you get Bosa, Debo, Greenlaw. Like, that year was just uncanny, man. Like you don't get three home runs in 1 year. That's usually not the way that it goes. But the 49ers fans want home runs. I'm a Tony Gwynn guy. Like, I love the aspect of, I think depth matters a lot in the NFL. And like, if you could tell me, dude, every single draft pick is going to be a single with one or two doubles, I take that every single damn year. Get contributors. Because eventually, one of those guys that is a double will turn into something more. That has been the way the 49ers have drafted the last couple years. But Upton Stout's the only one that's like, ooh, he's a double. That guy could be the best nickel in the NFL. It's hard to see that about anybody else. But I am with you, NH. These last, and man, if this roster countdown doesn't do anything, you know how hard it was to rank these dudes? And you see in the numbers next to them, and you're like, damn, like 49? Like, really? Like, for these types of guys, like, these are fourth and fifth round picks that we're putting in the 50s? Dude, last year, you go look at that, and man, we were throwing those fourth, fifth round picks were up in the, you know, 40s and 30s. This is a deep roster. And the result of quality drafting, maybe not home run drafting, there's some guys out there, man. There's some guys out there. That's all I'm saying. Logan, I can see Duggar being sent on blitz packages when he gets some tutelage under his belt for sure, man. Yeah. Duggar going to be like Captain Insano, shows no mercy. There we go. Yes. Have Duggar line up when the offense is going to spike the ball and have him reach underneath the center to try. Yeah, you do a little scoop between the center's legs, try to catch it. Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, I loved how Wallow played too, man. Like, one does not simply defeat a Garrett Wallow. Bid, most players need time to develop before you see what they're going to really be. I agree with that too. And Jaden Duggar's 22. Most of this draft class, 24, 25, 23. Jaden Duggar's one of the young pups out there. And yeah, you just get time. Just get time. Kimbrough, we need home runs. We are getting older. Yeah. Ooh, the very next comment, we need base hits. We need sliders butts. When the metaphor goes wrong. Yeah, I love it. Big Toe, thanks for the super chat, my man. You are awesome. If you had to bet, would you think it's more likely a couple undrafted D linemen earn a rotational spot before Duggar or Prysock are playing regularly? On defense, yeah. Niners don't rotate linebackers at all, right? So, like, they don't do that. Didn't even do that whenever Fred Warner was injured. And, you know, everybody was injured last year, Nick, but they still didn't rotate. They stuck with what they had, whether that was Garrett Wallow or the Lance Kendricks or, you know, whatever. Like, they just don't rotate. Defensive tackle, rotate three deep. There's the starters, there's the Bravo, there's the NASCAR, and then there's one more rotation in there for like every fifth series, right? So defensive tackles played. Now, the difference is with the 53-man roster, if you cut Jaden Duggar, who's a fifth-round pick, likely to be claimed by somebody else. If you cut James Thompson Jr. or Bryson Eason, the priority free agent defensive tackles that you mentioned, every single team has already passed on them through seven rounds. It's a lot easier to slide James Thompson Jr. or Bryson Eason through waivers and then get them back on the practice squad than it is somebody like a Jaden Duggar, because somebody could have a seventh round grade on Jaden Duggar and been like, man, we really wanted him. We didn't get the chance. We thought we were going to get him in the seventh. no team in the NFL has that opinion or feeling that, like, man, we missed out on James Thompson Jr. We really wanted to get him in the seventh round, but he was taken before because he wasn't. He was there. So every single team passed on him. This goes into the roster metrics or matrix that building that 53, man, it's chess. It's not checkers. Who can we sneak through? Who are we certain will be claimed? Teams do not cut fifth round picks. Like, teams do not cut fifth round picks. And even if they're injured, Niners do this all the time. You control their rights because you put them on IR. They don't count on the 53. Their contract tolls to the following season. You still control them for 4 years. That's why the 49ers have so many restricted free agents after the end of that year, 3 year, four deal. I mean, you could look at Jordan Mason, Matt Breida, Colton McKivitz was one. Juwan Jennings was one. Aziz Alshire was one. I mean, shoot, you can go with Emmanuel Mosley. Like, the Niners have done this throughout this regime nonstop. How do we get this extra year? How do we sneak this guy in? So if I had to bet, I'm taking a defensive tackle getting lineman or even a defensive end getting some work, Mikhail Kamara, over Jaden Duggar getting linebacker snaps, and it's not close to me. But I do see Jaden Duggar playing special teams really, really early. Really early, week one. Like, you might, Jaden Duggar probably going to be out there in the very first snap of the season in Australia, which I'll be there. Will you guys be there? I hope you're there. I really, really do. But we'll see there. Let's see here. That's twice you mentioned Wallow. If you say his name one more time, that means he's making. I freaking love Garrett Wallow, man. There are just guys that you love. And again, when we break down, if you watch our breakdown tape, when the 49ers, they brought Garrett Wallow over in December, and I'm watching tape, I'm like, who the hell is that? I didn't know who he was. I didn't even know his number is 49. It's like, who is that? So I'm rewinding it, and I was like, he's punching people in the face on special teams. And I'm like, yes. Like, yeah, I like him angry, baby. I love Garrett Wallow. Like, I love him. He's the NFL edition of Rudy, if there ever was one. Shane, what's up, brother? Fifth rounders rarely get cut. They just don't. They just do not. They just don't. RTP just might be down under. There we go. Hella late today, but what the hell is up with Nick Martin? Another third round ghost. Man, that concussion was scary. And even like the injury, runs full speed. You see him get whacked in the side of the head. You see him get dizzy, goes back out there, plays the next play, doesn't look right. Then you don't see him for the rest of the season. Now, what people forget, Nick Martin earned the starting job. He was the starting number three linebacker that week. Finally climbed, got a concussion on kickoff or kickoff. I think it was kickoff return. I don't remember which one it was. But he finally found his role as a starter, got one snap and like had a concussion. They took him out and he was done. Don't write off Nick Martin. Now, Nick Martin is not a Raheem Morris guy. Nick Martin is a KJ, not KJ Wright guy. He was here whenever, but that was a Robert Saleh guy. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to write off Nick Martin. It was so cool having him on the show and, you know, talking to him, and it seems made up of the right stuff, but this dude hasn't played meaningful football in two consecutive seasons now. Don't want to give up on him. But, yeah, right here, Logan, Nick Martin better show us something in training camp. I like that. I like that. That linebacker room, again, the depth, Fred Warner, Greenlaw, Bethune, Luke Gifford, Nick Martin, Jaden Duggar, Garrett Wallow, Jalen Graham, Larry Worth III. And don't sleep on Larry Worth III. Don't do it. I don't think he's going to make the roster, but that dude could play some ball now. He could play some ball. Guys, this has been fun. You guys are incredible. Thank you for spending some time with me early in the morning. I hope the rest of your day is incredible. You all deserve to have great days. And I just want to say thank you for spending some time with me. Thank you. And until next time, as always, stay strong, faithful.